This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. So 86 at the moment, clouding over, low of 67. Tomorrow we're going to stay relatively hot. 82 is a high tomorrow with some thunderstorms. Then the cooling begins. We drop down to 45 low tomorrow. Then Friday high of just 66. And then 70s from there on. That'll actually be a little better, I think. So we hear it all the time here in Michigan. We're going to reform education. We're going to change the curriculum, maybe change how we evaluate teachers or testing. Well, my next guest, an education scholar, says those will not really resolve our issues. Dr. Cornelius Grove, author of The Drive to Learn, What the East Asian Experience Tells Us About Raising Students Who Excel. Dr. Grove, great to have you on WILS. I think you're there, hopefully. I'd say not. What do you say? So, I mean, I hear the phone line there. Yeah, give him another call. So let me tell you a little bit about Cornelius Grove before he gets here. Cornelius Grove is not, he not only studies and researches and writes about this, he's been out there. He actually went out and taught in Beijing. He wrote a book called Encountering the Chinese. I want to ask him about that. In 2005 in Singapore, he delivered a major conference paper on instructional styles worldwide. What Dr. Grove talks about is that part of the issue that we're not acknowledging, we're not talking about in education, is the part involving the children. That they are a key aspect of what we're dealing with here. Dr. Grove, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you. I'm glad to make a virtual visit to Lansing, Michigan.
Yeah, indeed. Have you been to Michigan before?
Oh, I have. It's been some time ago, but I definitely have. I've even crossed the Mackinac Bridge and gone over that upper part. What do you call it? The Upper Peninsula.
Upper Peninsula. Hopefully you were here in the summertime then.
I don't remember. It's a very long time ago.
Because Dr. Grove, I want to ask you about your time in China. You taught in Beijing. It was many years ago. You wrote a book called Encountering the Chinese. What was that like? What kind of perspective did that give you about us?
Well, first of all, I should say that I am, by profession, an interculturalist. So I bring an interest in culture that is not only one that I seem to have quite naturally, but also through study at the university level and up through the doctoral level. So when I went to China, I was very curious about what was going on there, curious about education.
Uh-huh.
One of the most interesting things that I found that really surprised me was that there were some people, pretty much everyone was quite nice to me. You know, there really wasn't any bad apple. But as time went on, I began to realize that some people seemed to be really going out of their way to help me and befriend me and you know, show interest in what I was doing and so forth. And to my astonishment, near the end of my time there, I realized that all of those people were members of the Communist Party.
Oh, interesting. It was almost a propaganda effort. But tell me in general, though, when you look at how East Asia, the classroom in East Asia, how does it compare to what we're doing here in the U.S.?
Well, there are many comparisons. What I did in my own work in the last several years, I had come to realize that there are literally hundreds of studies that look at children and learning and parenting and schooling in East Asia, that's China, Japan, and Korea, uh-huh. and in the United States, and try to understand the differences and draw comparisons. Mm-hmm. And when you read a great deal of, and most of this work is done by anthropologists and other people who use mainly naturalistic methods, also some of them use survey methods. And when you read this, you begin to realize that there are just differences at many, many levels.
Okay. Give me some of the primary ones. What are they doing so differently from us?
It's not so much what they're doing, although it does end up being what they're doing, but it's primarily how they think about children, how they think about children's learning, mm-hmm. how they think about what they should be doing in school.
Okay, like what? How is it that they think about kids and what they should be doing in school?
Well, for example, and then I should add that the biggest difference that comes out is what should parents be doing about what their kids are doing in school.
Yeah.
One of the most fundamental differences that I came up with would be how the people in the two sides of the world, the United States and East Asia, how do they respond to this question? Who is responsible for the child's learning? Now, I think that if you look at the massive research that's been carried out, you come to the realization that in the United States, we believe that that responsibility, as soon as the child goes to school, we tend to think that responsibility for learning is primarily the schools. In East Asia, they always think that the primary responsibility for the children's learning, classroom learning, is the child's and the family's, the parents.
So when you put the responsibility on the child and the parent, what does that do to the classroom environment?
Well, the main thing I came up with in my study was that I found out that, or I concluded after a great deal of research, that American children are less receptive to what goes on in the classroom than East Asian children.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not saying that American children are not receptive and they are receptive. I'm saying, and comparatively, our children are less receptive.
What does that mean, less receptive?
They come to the classroom less ready, willing, and able to learn. It's not that they're not. They're less willing to put the time in, less able because of the way that they've been raised to interact with people in roles of authority or experts such as teachers.
Okay. So do they have less respect for teachers, you're saying?
That is one of the main characteristics of Asian culture and East Asian culture. Yes, there is huge respect for teachers and other people who are learned. Absolutely.
Now, do they have corporal punishment there, where teachers are allowed to smack a child? Or?
I don't. It's funny. What I've read really didn't get into that very much. I don't think it's a big part at all of what goes on in East Asia.
It's not an issue of discipline, you're saying. It's actually something that the children have an attitude where they don't misbehave generally. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. There was a very well-known scholar who said, and I've met this guy, he said, all children everywhere resist classroom learning. They're full of energy, you know, they want to do what they want to do and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Some cultures overcome that resistance to learning by what goes on in schools, and other cultures prevent that resistance to classroom learning mm-hmm. by how the kids are raised at home and how they arrive at the schoolhouse door.
Yeah. How do we? That sounds like a major societal issue to try to deal with the problem at home. How do we?
Absolutely, it is a major societal issue. What I conclude is that just because I wrote a book or just because Congress passes a law is not going to make a difference in our culture. Where the difference can be made, and I end up the book really making this point very strongly with suggestions, it's about parents. How do parents deal with their children with respect to school learning?
Mm-hmm. Dr. Cornelius Grove with us. The book is The Drive to Learn, What the East Asian Experience Tells Us About Raising Students Who Excel. I need to, because I just skipped over your China experience. What you said is that you found out that it was the Communist Party that was trying to kind of give you an impression of schools there when you were teaching in Beijing. Well, what did you come to conclude from that?
What I concluded by the fact that the people who were the most outgoing for me were members of the Communist Party was that being a member of the Communist Party was almost the same as it had a very heavy moral quality. It wasn't only about politics. It wasn't only about socioeconomic matters in the society. It was also about how to be a fine human being.
Hmm.
That's what I'm afraid I disagree with you. I don't think it was a propaganda effort because who was I? I was just a 40-year-old guy who had come over there to teach for 6 months. You know, I mean, there's no point in putting out propaganda effort on me. I think they were just being wonderful human beings, and that the, their Communist Party membership, this was one of the things that that it led them to try all the harder to be a fine human being. And in my work on children and families, I came up with something rather similar than to that as well. So another question you can ask about children in school is...
Let me ask you this, Dr. Grove. What do you do? Because we have schools here where we have huge rates of failure, where really there's no listening, no respect for teachers whatsoever. What do you do once you're in that state? How do you reverse course?
I don't think that the problem can be solved by the schools alone. This is one of the big conclusions on my book. If we want to make change in the United States in education, we can't only look at what the adults are doing. We also have to look at what the children are doing. We can't only reform the adults and curriculum and school choice and on, all these things, homework.
Yeah.
I'm not saying those things are useless.
No question. You got to look what the kids are doing. So what? Tell me this, in China or any of these East Asian countries, if some child or a group of kids are really disrespecting a teacher, how would they handle that?
Well, first of all, it would be much less likely. I'm a little unable to answer that question because some of that is dealt with in the literature, but I concentrated on the children and the parents and the upbringing at home.
So really, I mean, it amounts to parents disciplining and teaching their children to show respect to teachers in their schools. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, except that I don't think to say that the parents are disciplining the children quite gives the right flavor to it. The whole ethos in which the family is raised in those cultures is with an enormous respect for learning, for learned people, and for studying and the perseverance to get really good, solid marks when you study. And they believe, this is one of the points I was going to make a minute ago, they believe that the purpose of learning is not just practical. I mean, they see that. It's practical. Get a good job, you know, do what you want to do with life, be able to go up the ladder and all of that. But even more important to them, or certainly equally important to them, is that it makes you a better human being. It enables you to better serve your family and your community.
Look, Dr. Grove, it's fascinating. I want to talk to you some more. It's Dr. Cornelius Grove. His latest book is The Drive to Learn, What the East Asian Experience Tells Us About Raising Students Who Excel. Dr. Grove, it's been a pleasure. Great to have you on WILS.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being invited.
TheDriveToLearn.info is where you can find him online.